You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show, all on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. That's the NCRA radio networks throughout British Columbia and throughout Canada. Hopefully, if we get more customers from other radio stations, we can get a lot of people listening to our self-advocacy show. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Michael Rubin's coming in just a few moments on the phones. Just wanted to let you know, well, basically, I've just picked up a province newspaper today. Some of the important news and stuff that was happening. So I'm not going to read it all because I could just be here all day through the station and just read my way through it to you guys. But it's, you know, just pick up a province or Vancouver Sun on the latest Vancouver issues and that sort of thing. Anyways, like I said, you're tuning into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. I'm going to possibly take a break and play some songs as possible. So we will be back in just a moment. And hopefully we will have Michael on the line here. So do stay tuned for it, and we will be right back.
Like
All right, that was Peck A.D. in the song called Yes, I Know. You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. All right, so I've got Michael on the line. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
So we have a guest today, and I apologize once again. The same as last week, there was like way too much traffic and accidents and everything happening on all the bridges to get on my way to get into the station, but I'm glad we can do this over the phone.
Yeah, and you're also long distance as well. You're from White Rock, right?
Yeah.
So
it's quite a bit of distance.
Yeah.
So we have today Marlene, and she is an inspired, loving, spiritual growth and development expert who has touched thousands through her powerful story of resilience and strength. She helps individuals find help, strength, and courage in their most difficult times through her individual coaching programs, seminars, retreatments. And after losing her own daughter to cancer, Laura Lane's first non-fictional book, Two Mothers, One Prayer, was co-authored it with another mother, Lori Nurston, to help parents of children with cancer. That's quite a bit of bio, and wow, I'm glad I got through that. Laura, are you there?
Yes, thank you so much, Michael.
that's a lot of stuff that you actually do. So how do you help people with strength and courage in these difficult times?
So in sharing the experiences that I've gone through, and when putting together my book, Two Mothers, One Prayer, Facing Your Child's Cancer with Hope, Strength, and Courage, when I went to sit down to write the book, I had to really consider what are all the things that I learned as we went through this journey with my daughter, and I'll share that journey with you in a moment. But
yeah,
when I went through this process and said, what did I learn from this? And I started to realize, okay, what did I do? What did Lori do, the two of us together, as our daughters had cancer, that would help other parents? And then we realized these are just general skills that would help many people as they're going through difficult circumstances. Some of those things are as basic as learning how to reach out and connect with people around us, being brave enough, having that courage to say, hey, I need help. And it's how do you find hope when things are difficult? You need to take time to really internalize the things that are going on in your life and draw on the resources of prayer, of meditation, of talking with other people, asking for a hug. There's all kinds of things like that. So that's where it all started, and that's what I share with people when I give keynote speeches or in my coaching programs, in workshops. Those are some of the things that I share with individuals.
Wow. You know, you mentioned the hug, and that is like one of the most basic things of just feeling that there's empathy around you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if people forget about that. It's like, so it's really cool that you put something that even go that basic into workshops and everything. That's really cool.
Go ahead.
It's fine.
I was just going to say, I remember a time, a hug is so basic, and sometimes it can be so hard to ask for, especially to ask from a stranger. But I think what you will find is when we ask for that hug, so many people are willing to be there to do that for us. There's that incredible young man who goes around giving out free hugs. It's something we desperately need, and we forget to ask for, and it's you can approach, if you're in the hospital, if you're going through something difficult, you can approach a nurse and say, you know what, I could really use a hug. And they will be there for you. They will do that. They don't just take blood pressures. they are there to emotionally support their patients and the patients' families. And you can do that. You can ask for that hug. And it's an incredible release. Yeah. And we shouldn't be afraid to do that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the nurses. I know, especially the nurses in the NICUs. I remember when my son, who was born at 26 weeks of gestation, during the 3 months that we had to go through the process of getting him, helping up to bring him home, that the nurses would hug us on a regular basis. We wouldn't even have to ask. They just knew that you needed a hug, you know? Mm-hmm. And they did it. And it was an amazing thing how nurses, they just know things, right?
Yeah.
Especially when dealing with sick children. So I wanted to get into, let's start with some of the story, because your daughter was diagnosed with cancer. So let's start with there. She's being diagnosed.
So my daughter, Celeste, she started out, people ask me, how do you know that you have a brain tumor? So and in each person, it's very different. But with Celeste, she had these headaches that were so bad, and they were headaches that were waking her up in the middle of the night, if you can imagine that. It's even difficult for me to imagine, having been there, how painful that would be to have something wake you up in the middle of the night. And then she developed double vision. And she was lucky that her stepmother is a neurologist. And as soon as she got the double vision, she's like, no, there's something really wrong here. So Celeste had a doctor's appointment at 10 o'clock in the morning. The doctor said, you get her to the emergency. She was in the emergency by noon. She had a CAT scan by 2 in the afternoon. She had an MRI by dinner time. And she was in emergency neuro or brain surgery by 9:30 at night.
Any seizures?
Yes. For Celeste, no, there wasn't any seizures at all. This was, and it was a short period of time of when she started these headaches started, and then they progressed to the double vision. It was a very short period. So, of course, on that night, once they got the MRI, they knew there was a mass there. They weren't sure exactly what that meant. So then she went into the surgery for them to relieve the pressure on her brain, relieve some of that fluid. And they weren't able to get a biopsy, so they sent us from a hospital in London, Ontario, they sent us to SickKids in Toronto. And a week later, she had a second neurosurgery with one of the top neurosurgeons in Canada, Dr. Drake. And he was able to at least now get a biopsy, and they were able to diagnose her with pineoblastoma. Pineoblastoma is a very rare form of brain tumor. It's underneath the brain, close to the brain stem, there's the pineal gland, and that's where her tumor was. And in discovering it was pineoblastoma, it's so rare, the chances of getting it is 1 in 7 million.
Interesting.
1 in 7 million.
Yeah. So it's extremely rare, and there aren't that many, and it's more children that are diagnosed with it than adults. Celeste was 12 years old at the time, and at the time I was totally overwhelmed with, oh my goodness, and I don't want to know. I was afraid to go and look on the internet. I didn't want to hear scary stories. We'll just take this one day at a time. And so we didn't know anyone else going through this. And then a few months later, I got this feeling that I needed to go online and I needed to just go look and see what it said on the internet, what was going to be out there. And in my search, I found out that there was a woman who had put together a website specifically for kids who have pineoblastoma, and she had compiled a list of the very few kids in the world who have ever been diagnosed with it. And I'm scrolling through this list, and there's a 2-year-old little girl, and there's a 16-year-old boy diagnosed 10 years earlier, and because she would put their ages, what they were when they were diagnosed and what year it was. And then I see on this list that there's a 12-year-old girl who was diagnosed in February 2011. And that was the same month that Celeste went into the hospital. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's another family going through this at the same time as us. And this other little girl, her name was Haley. And so I messaged her. I got hold of her mom and messaged her and said, my daughter has the same diagnosis as your daughter. And we were both blown away that we just, somebody else who could understand what we were going through. Haley had the same protocol. It's the St. Jude's protocol. So both girls were going to be doing 30 rounds of high-dose radiation, followed by 4 to 6 months, 4 to 6 rounds of high-dose chemotherapy and stem cell rescue. And the girls had just were just finishing up their radiation and preparing to go do their chemos. And it was just incredible. Afterwards, I looked. The chances of these both girls, like I said, it was 1 in 7 million to get this tumor. The chance of two girls being 12 years old being diagnosed the same month is 23.5 billion to 1. Just incredible odds. And the fact that we found each other, I can't even factor that in. I can't even factor that those odds in of the fact that they live in New Jersey and we're in Ontario. And, yeah, the fact that we found each other was even bigger odds.
Yeah, I guess at some point it may be how many billion to one. I guess at some point you got to focus on, well, I have the one. And It sounds like there's a point of gratitude to actually having found that one odd is in being able to go through the process with another mother.
Well, for when this happened and when we connected and we started to email back and forth and we're learning more about this other little girl and both Celeste and Haley are incredible young women who just had so much faith, and they were their outlook on getting through this cancer was just incredible. And that's when I got the inspiration that I needed to write a book about these two girls.
Okay.
The fact that
hang on right there, Kelly, signaling me that we have less than a minute left before our break. Kelly, did you want to start the break?
All right. Thank you very much, Michael. I'll put you guys on hold in just a moment here. You're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks and, of course, our flagship stations, Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, and, of course, we're also on our UBC station, CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking to... Michael? We're talking to...
Laura Lane.
Okay.
And she's author of the book, Two Mothers, One Prayer.
All right. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Do you have no direction?
Are you trying to make sense of this absurd existence that we experience on a daily basis?
Do you wish to find meaning in this existential quagmire that is the daily grind?
Well, come on down to CITR for Volunteer Wednesdays from 11 to 1 p.m. every week and find your meaning in life. No experience is necessary, so what are you waiting for, Sisyphus? Life is knocking.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. That's the National Campus and Community Radio Networks. We're talking to Laura Lane. And Michael, who is Laura Lane?
Laura Lane, she is the author of Two Mothers, One Prayer. It is a book her and another mother, Lori Nursten, came up with to help parents of children with cancer.
All right.
And Laura, you were telling us about how you first got connected with Lori Nursten. and how you found her, I guess it was on a website database or something?
Yes, so I happened to discover there was a website called Pineo Kids. All the children, most of the children who've been diagnosed with this rare form of brain tumor, mm-hmm. and Haley was listed on this website, and Lori didn't even know that Haley was listed on this website. And so I found a link to their care pages, and then I contacted them, and at that point, I emailed and just said, hey, and this is who we are. My daughter Celeste has the same type of brain tumor. She was diagnosed the same month, and that became just the beginning of going from complete strangers to best friends. Within weeks and months, we were relying on each other for support because both girls were going through their treatments at the same time. And it was incredible to watch that children are so open to suggestion and so humble, and whatever we tell them, they believe. And so we have to be very careful with the words that we choose around children. And so we wanted to completely encourage them and let them know that they were strong and they could do this. And there would be days when I would be struggling and Lori would cheer me up, and there'd be days when she would be struggling and finding it so hard and I would cheer her up. But we would also share the information of how the girls were doing with their treatment. So Haley was just a couple of days ahead of Celeste in the schedule. And so Haley would go into isolation and then have to watch her blood counts. And then Celeste would go into isolation and we'd be watching her counts. And when Haley's counts would come up, I would tell Celeste, I'm like, Celeste, Haley's counts went up yesterday. Well, then the very next day, Celeste's counts would go right up too. Like, we just needed to suggest to her what her body was supposed to do. And it was phenomenal that way. And the girls were able to Skype with each other because they're isolated from their friends. Both girls are 2 hours from their own homes. And so they don't have friends. As many people can visit them in the hospital. And so we arranged for the girls to Skype with one another. And it was so neat to see them Skype for the first time, because here they're talking to each other and they're like, oh, and they're showing each other their hospital rooms. And they're like showing each other the scars that they have on their bald heads from their radiation treatments and then their surgeries. And they're like, oh, look, this is my scar and this is my scar. They were like two little old ladies comparing all their war wounds. It was wonderful. So, and it was such a blessing to me to be able to connect with Lori, to know that there was somebody there who understood, because nobody else in my life understood what it was like to have a child with cancer and what we were going through on a daily basis with all the treatments and processes and pokes and surgeries and all of those things, and to have someone else who knew exactly, and we could be sitting, well, okay, well, our doctor suggested we do this, and we'd pass on the information. She'd, oh, well, our doctor suggested we do this, and passed on the information back, and on an emotional level and on a spiritual level, to be encouraging each other and praying for each other. And so all the people that were praying for Celeste, we then asked them to start praying for Haley, and all the people who were praying for Haley, they asked them to pray for Celeste as well. And so it's like our communities merged together, and we became twice what we were before with the impact we're able to make, and we're able to do so much more because we had each other. And then it was through that process that I realized I needed to share our story in the form of a book, so that we could help people. The world needed to hear about these girls. And then it became about, oh, it's not just the world needs to hear about these phenomenal little girls and their faith. We also need to share everything that we're learning as parents to help other parents who are going through the same thing, that they won't feel alone and that they will know some of the resources we found and all the things that we did that really helped, that they would know and they could have that going into it rather than learning it months or years later.
Yeah, that's important information. Yeah, very important information I like the way the two of you got the two girls to share what their progresses were and everything. It was probably really helping both out a lot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
And they didn't feel so alone, because being sick is a very isolating experience. And so we wanted the girls to know that they were not alone, and it was very helpful to Lori and I to know that we weren't alone, and of course our extended family too, that and we want other parents to know you don't have to go through this alone. There are parents who are going through it at the moment, and here are the resources. This is how you can connect. I didn't learn until afterwards that there's a group called Momcology, which is specifically for moms whose children have cancer. And that if we can provide that information to parents right away, then that would be great.
Yeah. Why don't you, if you have the information at your fingertips right now, how do people find it? It's called Momcology. Is that right?
Yeah. So, Momcology, they have a Facebook page and they have a website, and I believe it's Momcology. I'll have to check. It might be momcology.org or momcology.com. But I'll pull that up very quickly. And it's an excellent resource for parents. And they've got a series of different Facebook pages that you can join in, and they have retreats and other things going on. And I wish I had known about it when Celeste was first diagnosed. It would have been extremely helpful. They have groups all over the United States, and so it's momcology.org, momcology.org. And if you go on there, then you apply to be a part of the group, and they will add you to the Facebook pages, and you can connect with other parents that way, and you get informed of any events that are happening. And there's a huge support that happened. September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and they do a lot of things in connection with that during September.
Can you share how people can get your book for those people who are listening only for the half hour show? Because we're going to have to break off for the half hour show, and then we'll continue on with the 1 hour show. Sure. If you can quickly tell people how to get a hold of your book.
Okay, so there are two ways. You can go to twomothersoneprayer.com, and on there's a link. When you click on the picture of the book, it will take you directly to Amazon. You can order it from Amazon. It's also available in Barnes & Noble. It's available as an ebook or a paperback book, so you can choose to go to Apple, the Apple iTunes store. It's available through there, through most outlets. In Canada, it is available online through Chapters Indigo as well.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we got that out before Kelly breaks us off for the half-hour show, because I noticed that we're coming up to the 30 minutes of the hour.
Yeah, we're pretty much close to it, so yeah.
Okay.
All right, so you have been listening to the Community Living Show. Please stay tuned for next week if you're listening to us on half-hour show. For everybody else, we will take a break, and we will be back with Station ID in just a moment here.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thinkum Queen Ansem, Hydra CM, Nisiyam,
Nisiyaya, Anthasyakuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Mustayo. And we're back on the Community Living Show on ENC Radio Networks. We're on our full hour show. We're talking to Laura Lane, who's the author of One Prayer. Am I right, Laura?
It's two mothers.
Two mothers. One prayer, two mothers. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully got that right. Okay, go on.
So you were sharing some about isolation and finding other people and groups to join in with when you have sick children. I think that's a really important lesson to learn for parents to learn to reach out to other parents for support. What are some of the other really big lessons that you think that parents should know if they have a sick child?
So the five things that I talk about in the book are, first, reach out, second, connect. So we talked about those. The mm-hmm. third one is taking time to reflect, that you do need to take some time for yourself. As much as there's so much going on and you're in complete overwhelm and you're totally worried about your child, you do need to take moments where you take some time to reflect on things, because you need that quiet time to be able to connect to spirit, to be able to listen for inspiration. But if we allow our minds to go all the time, we got that monkey mind going on. If you don't quiet it down enough, you can't listen to the inspiration that comes on the things that you need to be doing. And so taking time to reflect is so important. And that can be taking time to write out in a journal. It can be taking time to pray, meditate. All of those things give us time to just de-stress, because it is such a stressful time. And if you can just take a few minutes here and there, take a breather, spend some time with a friend. If you find someone you can talk to, get a hug. Just quiet things down for yourself so you're not in overwhelm all the time. It's so important to take care of ourselves through this, which then leads to the next part, which is take time to express. So you need to get it out. Once you calm yourself down, you also need to get out all the things that are going on. If you can find a friend to talk to, if you can, prayer can be another outlet. Writing in a journal can be another outlet of expressing yourself, expressing all the emotions that are going on. Find an outlet in that. And if you can, for some people, if you can get a break, if someone can relieve you and you can go for a walk or you can do some sort of exercise, that's really important. But also, that could be finding a creative outlet. And that's one of the things that I did. When Celeste was at Sick Kids Hospital, I was staying at Ronald McDonald House, and we were there for 3 months. And after the first couple of nights, when I was able to go back to Sick Kids by myself, or back to Ronald McDonald House, and have an evening to myself with Celeste sleeping, and I put on the TV and I watched Storage Wars and Hoarders, and I binged on it, and I thought I had just fried my brain. I'm like, I can't do this. This is not good for me at all. I need something else to be doing. And I found out that they had a craft room at Ronald McDonald House. And so I went up to one of the staff members and I said, hey, can I use your craft room? You know, late at night when there's no programs in there, can I go in there? Can I kind of sneak in there and use your craft room? And they're like, I'm sure. I don't see why not. Nobody had ever asked them that before. And so on my way home from the hospital one night, I stopped off at the dollar store and I picked up some canvases, some cheap dollar store canvases and some paints. And I took those into the craft room, and I go in about 11, 12 o'clock at night, because that's when I had my free time getting back from the hospital. And I go in there and nobody was in there, and I spread things out and I started painting. And it became so healing for me, so good for me to have an outlet to be able to just do some painting late at night. And then I would gingerly take them back up to my room one at a time, and I started displaying them around the room, and I take photographs of them. And so I took some photographs, and then the next morning I go back to the hospital to be with Celeste, and I show her pictures of the paintings I did. I'm like, look what mommy did last night. So again, it's something to talk about, something other than just hospital stuff, something new. And my husband, when he saw the pictures, he asked me, he's, hey, can you do some paintings with particular colors? Because I do abstract acrylic paintings. And so I painted with the colors he suggested, and it worked really well. I've never done that before where someone else suggested colors and I paint. So I show them to Celeste, and I'm like, Celeste, you choose 4 colors, and I'll do some paintings for you. So the next time I go back to Ronald McDonald House, and they have some time, and I did some paintings for her. And I took photographs, and then I emailed them to Lori and Haley, and I said, Haley, you choose four colors, and I'll do some paintings for you as well. So she chose pink, yellow, purple, and blue. And I did a series of paintings, and I took photographs of them, and then I emailed them to her. And one of those paintings, she loved it, and she called it Waves. And that became one of my signature pieces, and I used that painting on the cover of the book. But it became, the whole beauty of it, it became just a beautiful activity for me to express what was going on. And it became very healing and good for me at the time. And so that's why I encourage people, find some sort of creative outlet. Even if it means if your child is doing perler beads, do something with them. If they've got the coloring book out because they need to be doing something creative while they're in the hospital, get the adult coloring book out and the pencil crayons and do some for yourself. If you can get paints and things like that as well. Or if you have some other way of being creative that you like, then try and work that into all of everything else that's going on. Take that time, and that expression will be healing to yourself and bring something positive and hopeful back into your life. For me, it led to incredible things. I left. When Celeste left the hospital, I left Ronald McDonald House with 24 paintings. And I'm like, what am I going to do with all these paintings? So I approached some local art galleries and said, hey, I'd love to, can we exhibit my paintings and tell the story about my daughter and this other young woman, Haley? And so we created an exhibit called Two Girls, One Prayer. And because these were the paintings that the girls chose these colors. And so I was able to do that, and then thought, you know what, we're going to auction off these paintings so we could raise money for Sick Kids Hospital and Ronald McDonald House. And so when we had the launch of my book launch, we did that. We auctioned off a number of paintings, and the funds went to Sick Kids, Ronald McDonald House, and a number of other cancer charities at the same time. So you never know where it's going to lead when you do something creative like that.
That is very true. And art kind of becomes, the expression of the soul, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and with that, Kelly is signaling me again. I guess we need to take a break. Is that right, Kelly?
That's correct. Very interesting there, Laura, on your description. It was very interesting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to put you guys on hold, and we will be back in just a moment. This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about. See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
You know, I'm so proud of it. It's almost
powerful, motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. If only I could
dream we could start again. All right, you're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRE Radio Networks. And of course, for those people who are listening to us on the full hour show on our flagship station, Co-op Radio 101.9 FM. Sorry, I just lost my break sentence for just a moment. So again, stay tuned for the other show that is on Accessibility Collective from 5 to 6, all about accessibility. So my dear friend Deepy is one of the hosts, so she does that show. So big shout outs to her and her show. She does a fantastic job on the shows. And of course, she and I go get together on every second week of May for a special program called Access Day, Accessibility Day, which of course is on the third week of May. Here on Co-op Radio, we do it for about 6 hours of accessibility awareness, disabilities, self-advocates, you name it, we do it. So we're hoping to do our third annual, which is going to be next year, and hopefully we will try and get all of the NCRE radio networks to participate as well. Back to Laura Lane, who is the author of One Prayer and Two Mothers, and we are talking to her now. Michael, go ahead.
Two Mothers, One Prayer.
Two Mothers, One Prayer. Okay, I mixed it all up. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We went through some really important lessons that Laura has in the book, and we wanted to get to the overall message that Laura wants to get out to people, especially those parents who have children with cancer.
Well, thank you, Michael. Yes, in sharing the five things that I share in the book, the last one that I share is about love, that after you reach out, connect, take time to reflect, take time to express, the last one is love. Now, of course, we know we need to love our children, but sometimes we forget to take time to love ourselves, and that is so important, that a lot of the things that I've shared before, the reason we need to reach out, connect, reflect and express is for our own well-being. And so we need to remember to love ourselves. And I love what French philosopher Jan Dallaglio says, that love is an expression of tenderness. And if we can think of, we look at our children and we can see how fragile they are, and we can remember to treat them tenderly. But we also have to recognize our own fragility, that we are fragile, and we need to treat ourselves that way, with that love and respect, and we need to take that time for ourselves. And so that's something that I also share in the book. And it's because of, and when we do that, we also need to recognize what other people are doing for us, all the people around us. We need to remember to love them and appreciate and be grateful for all the support that we're receiving. That's so important, to be grounded in that feelings of love and gratitude when we're going through all this. That people are there to serve us, and they serve us in so many incredible ways. And when we can have that combination of humility, gratitude, and love, that opens our heart up. And so I share all of those things in the book. And it's because of the love that I had and the gratitude that I had to the many people who served us within the community and my desire to give back to the cancer community that I wrote the book. That's the reason that we did all this, is we want to be able to share with other parents and say, hey, we understand what you're going through, and here are the things that we learned that would help you. I do share in the book when 2 years after Celeste was diagnosed with cancer, we found out that her cancer became terminal, and I do share that in the book. I won't go into those details right now, but I share that experience of how we supported her to make her transition and how it became a beautiful thing, and my gratitude for all the people who supported us through that time. And there were celebrities that helped my daughter. There were people who stepped up and did incredible things for us. But you can read that in the book. And in order to give back, once we published the book, I wanted to still continue to give back to the community. So through the month of September, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, I put together a virtual summit to support parents, and it's called Hope and Happiness for Cancer Kids. And you can still go online, you can register and watch all of the interviews that we did. There were 20 interviews through the month of September. People logged in daily and they watched two interviews over 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And wow. All these incredible experts in the field of oncology talking about hope and talking about happiness, how to get the best care possible for your child, and also how to create happy memories together. And it was phenomenal. I interviewed people like Dr. Bernie Siegel. He is a pediatric surgeon, and he started writing books in the 70s, and he's an incredible man, and I love that interview. I could have talked to him all day. You get to listen to an hour-long interview with Bernie. I had some of the interviews are 20 minutes, half an hour, and some of them are longer. Wow. You just take the time that you want to log in and watch them as you can. And I interviewed Marcy Shymoff. She wrote Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul and Happy for Reason and Love for No Reason, and she had incredible advice. I interviewed Dr. Jeff McCowage from Sydney, Australia, and he's a pediatric oncologist. And he talks about what it's like from the team's perspective of how they help parents when their child is diagnosed and all the resources. And he has a podcast that he does in Australia that you can log in and watch those videos. I interviewed Dr. Sue Mortar, and she provided just incredible, enlightening information about how to get grounded and center yourself through what you're going through with your child, and how to get peace. And meditation was a tool that I heard from many different people, and just it's terrific information. So I want to make that, it's a free resource for parents, and we're going to do this every year. So this was our flagship year, and next year we'll build it, make it even bigger and get even more better, credible resources for parents. So that's something you can send your audience to. You can log in to hopeforcancerkids.com. You put in your name and your email address, and then you get the link to the website so that you can watch the video.
Wow. You're doing a lot of work to give back. All these programs and everything. It could sound like it's really important for these parents to actually share their stories and not internalize what they're going through.
I think it's so easy to isolate ourselves when this happens. And so I really want parents to know they're not alone, that there are people who love them and support them, and they're not going through this alone, because it feels like The people you know don't know how to help, and they back away, and people you thought were your friends and family members don't know what to do. And so what I want to do is connect them with the people who do know what to do, who will be there to support them so they don't feel alone, because it can be so hard. And these are all the things that I wish had been there for us, so we're putting it together for them. And I just want them to feel loved and supported. And it's my way of giving back, because I am grateful because there were people there who supported us. That was the first thing that I did when my daughter was diagnosed. I wrote down on a piece of paper, like, if we're going to go through this, then we're not going to go through it alone. And I'm going to need help. So who can I ask for help? And I started to make a list of what we were going to need. And that was so important. And I was willing to do for my daughter what I wasn't willing to do for myself, and to reach out and ask people, because I was asking for her and not necessarily for myself. And I was just willing to ask anyone and everyone for what we needed, because it was so important to me to be there for my daughter and to help her, that in the end, this is going to bless her life. Which in turn did bless my life. Mm. That the people that came into our life was incredible. So that's what I want to do for these other parents, is to let them know they're not alone, and that there is support out there for them. Whether that's through my book or through the websites, the other resources out there, connect them to all that. If we can help one family, then that's what matters.
Yeah. We want to make sure we put a lot of these resources up on our webpage. So is it possible for you to email us? Because there's so many of these things. I want to make sure they each get a good post. Can you email some of those resources back to us later on?
Sure, of course. Yes, we would love to do that.
Yeah. So... Kelly, what is our community living radio email address?
Well, I was going to do that a little bit later.
Okay.
We just want to try and get just one more time on how to get a hold of her. If she's on Twitter or she's on Facebook or anything like that.
Again, your book is on Amazon, and you said that there's a click through link to a website that you actually have.
Yeah, so the first place they can go to is twomothersoneprayer.com. That's our website for the book. On that, you can go to the order now or the picture of the book and click on that. That will take you to Amazon. I can also be found on Facebook. We have a Facebook page called Two Mothers, One Prayer, and one for myself as Laura Lane, Inexplicably Inspired, or Laura Lane, author, poet, artist. And on Twitter, at Laura Lane, L as in love, S as in strength, and C as in courage. So Laura Lane, LSC.
Interesting.
And so they can follow, if they're on Twitter, and if they're on Periscope, they can follow me on Periscope through the Twitter handle.
All right.
It's really important. These are, in comparison to, I went through 3 months of NICU and in the end, my son was healthy, happy, and he's right now in Boy Scouts playing football, all this sort of stuff. I can't even imagine the years that you went through with caring for your daughter, and what these parents are going through. And I know how difficult it was for us with 3 months feeling isolated, feeling like we're the only ones and all that kind of stuff. So it's got to be important for these parents with kids with cancer. They need to reach out, and Laura's got all the resources for you to reach out to other people and get help. So I want to make sure that we get all your stuff right on our
on our Facebook page. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Laura, for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thrilled. I'm so grateful that you're doing this, that you're able to share this with your community.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for providing that service.
Mm.
And I appreciate to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you for joining us, and we hopefully we'll be able to touch base with you again in the future.
Perfect. Thank you so much, okay. Michael.
Mm. All right. Thank you, Laura.
All right. That was Laura Lane, author of Two Mothers, One Prayer, and we just got all the information we need. You're tuned in to the community. You have been listening to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks and, of course, our full-hour station, CITR 101.9 FM. Please tune in next week where we have Michael.
I wanted to get into this because I was hoping to have Gregor Robinson, Mayor of Vancouver, to come on.
Right.
But he's extremely busy at this time.
Yeah.
And we're not going to actually be able to have him come on air or be able to get a pre-recorded interview with him.
Okay.
At this time, especially with the importance of some of the transit changes that are up and coming. And some of the housing projects and everything that are upcoming around in Vancouver.
Right. And speaking of transit issues, be sure to we're hoping in the process of Access Television to have an interview with Jordan Bateman, who is the Canadian Taxpayer Association in the local area in British Columbia. So I'm hoping to interview Jordan Bateman about transit issues and what has happened after the referendum issues. So. I have to look forward to that.
Well, so we'll see what we wind up with for next week, but I don't have anyone at this time to announce.
All right.
So
we'll figure out something.
We usually do.
Yeah.
Although I was directed by the mayor's assistant to a transit website where there's quotes and maybe hopefully video or something like that that we can play of what's going on with transit and what the mayor had to say about the future of transit.
Yeah, and basically what's happening with the 10-year transit plans that has already happened on phase one during the open houses. I was over there at the open houses last time. So thank you very much. We got to go.
All right.
And we'll look.
Everybody next week.
Yeah, we'll see you all next week. We're online. We're not online. We're on email. You can check us out. If you have something to say about our show, please email us. CommunityLivingRadio@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook. Facebook.com/groups/CommunityLivingRadio show. And on Twitter and Instagram at Sea Living Radio. Thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you all again next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye for now.